This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
The Rockies beat the Dodgers last night. This is a fun team. Don't do anything other than trade guys maybe that aren't making an impact. Untouchables for the Rockies. We'll talk about that. And there's several Rockies that made the top 100 most tradable lists. I guess that's a good thing. Also, today's a big day for the Nuggets. They will decide on what to do with Valerie Nichushkin. Big Val. One of the Vals.
Yeah, not hockey Val. Basketball Val.
Valanciunas. There we go. How many times did I screw that up this year? And then in a couple days, we should know more about Peyton Watson. LeBron James watches on. Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler. And 16 years ago today, something big happened. And we'll talk about it. It has something to do with kind of the Nuggets, I suppose. The whole show starts right now. Michael, they beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 4-3 last night. Before that game, the Rockies, I mean, they have destroyed their franchise record for most runs in the eighth inning or later before the All-Star break. In 1996, they had 104 runs in the eighth inning or later. That was their record. They were at 126 before last night's win over the Los Angeles Dodgers. It was a weird way that it happened, but now they're at 129 because they had three runs in the top of the eighth to ultimately take the lead and hold on to the lead. Juan Mejia was exceptional in the bottom of the eighth. And what can you say? I mean, you had Romano pitching. Romano's an interesting guy. He like clears the mechanism. He just like shuts everything down and went ahead and closed out a game for the Rockies. I just don't want them to make any moves, Mike. This is, you know what this team is now? They're still a bad team. But it feels like there's competent baseball going on. They're a bad team that's not so far out of the realm of what an actual baseball team looks like in the major leagues.
It's like the Rockies wished to become a real baseball team, and then a fairy came along and made them a real baseball team.
What is
Pinocchio?
I know. I think I get the reference, but
I'm a real boy.
But why? Why? Why do you want to start the show off with the Pinocchio reference, Michael? Why do you think that's a good idea?
I don't know.
I don't think I'm making any moves other than, you know, I heard Tanner and Brian talking about it on Good Morning NoCo. Yeah, Doyle. I'm probably good moving Tovar. I know they need pitching. But everybody on this list is, I just feel like Cole Kerrig, man. He is like my new hero, by the way. I know he's a rookie, but he's got it. He has the it factor. Not many Rockies players in the past few years, when you're losing this much by this many games, not many guys can you point to and say that guy, you know, has an it factor. I think Hunter Goodman might kind of be that guy. Cole Kerrig certainly seems to be that guy. Now, again, the Rockies have done this where we get a lot of promising rookies and then they kind of fade down the stretch. But every time Kerrig goes up, something good happens, man. And what a wild game it was. I mean, just the way it played out with you had the 3-1 lead. The Dodgers were up 3-1. You bring in Will Klein, and you thought it was over. He had a potential, inning-ending double play that turned into a run-scoring error. And the Rockies turned a squeeze play into two more runs to take a 4-3 lead when Rojas misplayed a throw to third, and then it goes into the dugout. I mean, that was bad, but we'll take it. The Rockies are now 38-55. I mean, Warren Schaefer is. I think he's pushing all the right buttons at this point, and it's exciting. I don't know, Mike. They might be a playoff team in a couple of years. They might be.
I mean, if you look at the mathematics, they could be a playoff team this year. It would just be very, 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 very difficult and probably never done in Major League Baseball history.
Don't tease me with that kind of stuff, Mike. The Rockies are 13 games out of the wild card spot.
Yeah, but all they have to do is win 55% of their games, and they're guaranteed to go to the playoffs.
It's so dumb that you have this take. I don't understand that take. It's just so dumb.
It's a terrible take. Most of them, they're like
so
barely
55%
or more.
What do you suggest? Oh, teams need to win a lot more? I don't know what you suggest when you make these kind of statements.
There need to be less games. I just don't know. Well, we could go down
that
a huge topic and it would be negative.
That is such a fanboy take of there needs to be less games. Why? What is the reason for less games? Give me one reason. You don't like watching baseball every night? That would be the only reason.
I don't think most people like watching baseball every night.
I watch the Rockies almost every night, and it's fun.
You are the outlier.
I'm talking to a couple of people yesterday who catch the Rockies-Dodgers game. That was a close one. I thought that maybe you're going to get one. Needed to get that. I think people like having baseball on their television. Same with basketball. I like having basketball. Once the NBA season starts up, I like having basketball on the tube almost every other night. Or you can have it on every night if you want to watch out-of-market basketball. I get the somewhat of the reasoning. Like, it would probably July 8th, you'd be in the playoff push. You'd be really tight into it right now, and every game means a little bit more, but you know, every year, these long seasons tend to come down to a game or two for a wild card team or just how we're shuffling out seeding and things like that. So you make the argument, but it's still very exciting once we get to the end. Michael, did you do some reading? Did you read any of that story on ESPN about Sean Payton? I did read through a lot of it, but I did find myself throughout the reading process kind of getting bored by some of it. The fact that the Broncos, did you know this, Michael? In overtime against the Bills, it was 4th-and-11 on their own 38, and Sean Payton was going to fake punt the football.
Yeah, I saw that story.
And I think it was Tyler Bidet, but they called it off. The players called it off, and Sean Payton was upset by that. Said we had the right look. It was the right look. Can you imagine if Denver would have lost that game on a fake punt? Didn't pick it up and Bills go down to score?
Pissed off. But if you're on the field and you see something different, if you see like, oh, maybe this guy might be paying
a little extra attention,
I'd call
risk.
It off too.
Yeah, well, it's good that they called it off, but apparently Sean was still upset by the fact that they called it off. So that one, I think, stood out. He's a very interesting guy. I think we can all agree Sean Payton is, we talked about layers yesterday on the show. Sean Payton's a pretty layered guy. You know one of the speeches he gave to the Broncos when they found out Bo Nix was out? He sat everybody down and said, I'm not worried about Stitty. I'm worried about the rest of you big blanks. It's a bad word. I can't say it. Big guys, basically. He got that from Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells, they were trying to connect, and Payton finally got a hold of him and said, hey, sorry, I've been trying to get a hold of you. And Parcells says, no, don't give me that. I've been trying to reach you. I called you 4 times. And he basically gave him that speech. When he had a backup, who was his backup quarterback? Who was Bill Parcells' backup quarterback? Hofstetler, is that who it was? I don't know. See if you can find it for me, Mike.
Oh, for the Giants?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it was Hostetler.
That's who it was. Well, and he gave Sean Payton the exact same speech. And he said, I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about the rest of these dudes. And that was the exact speech that Sean Payton gave. Then we find out he's calling Jerry Rice to have him talk to the team about not wearing sleeves. The guy has a big pull. He has a lot of people that influence his coaching, his decision-making, but also kind of just help him. And I think, Michael, some of it was fascinating. Some of it was like, wow, this is a really, 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 really long story. And some are shocked that Sean Payton actually would open up that way. No, man, he definitely likes to do this. He's done it ever since he's been a Bronco.
He's done it for a long time. He likes the sound of his own voice. I think he likes the attention.
Yeah, I think he does.
And look, if that's as long as the Broncos win, I don't care what he says.
And that's kind of how I am. But there is a lot of genius to what he does. I mean, this guy grinds. They say he's not likely to show up at the facility at 4:30 in the morning because he's leaving at 4:30 in the morning. I mean, the guy grinds. He's a hard worker. I do think, I don't necessarily think Sean Payton is a selfish guy. I think maybe that's the opposite. I think he has a big ego, but it's a different kind of ego than maybe is what you would say about an obvious egomaniac. I mean, that the Belichick story to me is fascinating. The fact that he was like trying to get, it was 2024. And he had wanted to, after Belichick had parted ways with the Patriots, he had wanted to get him the record. The mere suggestion of that is fascinating to me. So the article is very long, and there's, if you pick pieces out, there's some really fascinating stories in there. When they found out about Bo Nix, it was like a movie. They were all celebrating. Doctor comes out, tells them, hey, Bo Nix, it's his ankle. He's out. He's not going to be able to play next week. And everybody just went silent. And Sean Payton just sitting there, lowered his head, kind of nodding like, okay. And all he says, they hear him say this. He just goes, stiddy. Like stiddy time. Like it would have been something for a movie had they found a way to win that game. And maybe, obviously, win the Super Bowl.
Made for TV movie.
You know the movie,
is it the one with John Voight as the head coach of the Buffalo Bills?
No. Everest? Have you ever seen that movie, Everest?
No, but I've heard
of it. You've heard of the movie? Sean's like going through and cutting stuff. He's cutting film. He cuts a video. He wants to create like a promotional video for his team. So I don't know anything about the movie Everest, but apparently the main character in it climbs and not good things happen. And he wanted to own the 5280 thing, the high elevation. And so he like tried to edit in the climber to make it look like he was Josh Allen. And then he messed with something with his wife on there, too, with Josh Allen's wife. He like went through and edited all this stuff to take time to make some kind of video. Who knows if that kind of stuff actually works, but he's just a very interesting guy. Remember his whole Ferris Bueller thing about Bo Nix? His mind, it's kind of a rambling mind. And I'm curious how he puts it all together to be a well-put-together head football coach.
So that's why you like me so much. Because he has a wandering mind, I have a wandering mind. I mean, it's just, we're awesome.
Yeah, but your wandering doesn't lead to any kind of solution. Your wandering is just wandering. His actually comes up with something, and
my wandering is wonderful.
No, it's really not. But think about that fourth down. Because it was, Michael, it was fourth and 11 on their own 38-yard line. And Crawshaw ends up punting at 55 yards to the Buffalo 7. And 9 plays later, the Broncos get the interception. And, you know, I mean, Jaquan McMillan makes a career-defining play. Without that, if they would have fake punted it, maybe they got it. Probably didn't. that play wouldn't exist. Win maybe wouldn't exist.
I like that interception play. I like that it happened this way, because not only do you get like more faith in Jaquan McMillan, but also Buffalo Bills fans just feel awful because, you know, they all still think it's pass interference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%.
And look, I might feel the same way, too. As a Broncos fan, if that had happened against the Bills, might feel the same way.
It was close.
Sean Payton's close, but the rules are the rules.
Sean Payton's probably one of the most interesting coaches outside of Coach Prime in the state of Colorado that we've seen.
But less annoying. Like Coach Prime doesn't have the right to talk to the media like
Sean talks,
that way.
Yeah,
Sean
has a Super Bowl. He has a Super Bowl. He's been to the playoffs a lot. He's a borderline.
Probably should have gone to two Super Bowls.
He's a borderline Hall of Fame coach. And one could make the argument that he should have gone. If Bo Nix is healthy, they beat the Patriots. I maintain the game probably goes in a very similar way. Because Bo Nix isn't stopping the blizzard.
But Bo Nix isn't fumbling the ball.
Probably not.
So I would say just thought about it. He should have been in the Super Bowl three times. This year, the one he was in, and also the one where the Rams committed a horrendous pass interference. Like, it was obvious pass interference and nobody threw a flag. That's the most pass interference of pass interference.
Yeah. I did find you didn't try to read this, did you? You didn't give it a shot? Reading's
no.
Not your favorite?
It might take you like a day to read. It would take me a year to read.
It's just a lot of information. It's not just outlining that week. That's the thing about this whole deal. Is it the highlight was the week. And it was Seth Wickersham who'd been around this facility. He'd been around him a lot over the course of, you know, his career. He's obviously got a relationship with Sean Payton. So to be able to get that kind of access is incredible, and hats off to him. Because, listen, I'm not complaining about it. It's not like it's obviously well-written. But I'm just curious as to where is that story? Why does a guy like Wickersham look at this and say, this is a meaty, meaty story that I want people to know more about Sean Payton? I think in some aspects it's very fascinating, and in other aspects it's like, yeah, this is just a hardworking coach that comes up with some crazy ideas.
I think if you're not a Broncos fan, in the back of your mind, or maybe in the middle of your mind, you're always thinking Sean Payton, Bountygate. And maybe this is one of those those things. It's like, okay, yeah. Bountygate was a long time ago.
Yep.
Who is Sean now?
I do agree, because I was one of them that didn't really want Sean Payton here. And that was partly because of trading the first round pick to get him here. And keep in mind, this was shortly after they just gave up first round picks, a haul, to get Russell Wilson. So I was gun shy on that and way off. Now, if they just hired him because he was available to hire, I think I would have felt probably somewhere in the middle. But I'll admit, Bountygate soured me on Sean Payton.
It soured him on a lot of people.
I think the NFL kind of would say the same thing, that there's a lot of higher ups in the NFL that are probably not Sean Payton's biggest fan.
And you know what? That 1 year suspension was deserved. Wasn't his defensive quarterback like kicked out of the league forever? Or his defensive?
He was. Yeah. No, I think he got on. I think he did get a job later, but he was out he was out for a while. He was suspended for a long time.
Yeah, in this and they've had bounty gates before. You've had, I forget who it was. He like knocked the kicker out of the game after a kickoff.
But
you've had it before. But in this day and age, you just can't get away with a bounty gate.
Reading through this though. I'm not trying to, I mean, obviously the NFL found him somewhat guilty, so they suspended him for a year. Reading through this, you can actually see that Sean Payton might be the kind of guy to be okay with that. Right? Or am I reaching on that?
I mean, he's an interesting creature. I don't know. I haven't read the story. I didn't know too much about him before he became a Broncos.
It doesn't
coach.
Paint him in a negative light at all. It's just the way his mind works. Now, they kind of found out he wasn't really responsible for Bountygate, but it happened under his watch.
And he knew about it.
So I could kind of see him laughing it off as to, oh, you knuckleheads are doing money for hurting players. Come on, don't get caught doing that crap. And then kind of moving on. Like, I could kind of see that. It doesn't, the story doesn't do anything to make me think he's a bad guy or anything like that. But he's very, very interesting. Eastside Chris, Sean likes to see himself in the limelight. I think he, I think he does. But he's also okay sharing some of that limelight, isn't he? I mean, 2024, suggesting that Bill Belichick be the head coach so he can get his 15 wins and he would be the OC. Like, what happens if Bill Belichick's good and they win a Super Bowl? Like, they go to the playoffs. How are you going to just say, I mean, you realize the risk that Sean Payton kind of takes there, too, if ownership had gone with that. Because let's say they did, and the Broncos in that first year with Russell Wilson, would that have been the first year with Russ? Maybe. My timelines are off, but it doesn't matter. What if they're good? They win 11 games. They get into the playoffs. They even win a playoff game. How are you going to tell Bill Belichick to walk after that? So I do kind of think Sean Payton took a big risk in even suggesting that.
And also, if they won the Super Bowl with that quarterback, you now put Bill Belichick back in the argument. Was it Tom Brady or was it Bill Belichick? Granted, he always had good defenses. It's just he seems to have been able to pick one good quarterback.
Tom Witten won a Super Bowl, and Belichick kind of faded. So the argument kind of does stop at Tom Brady.
Well, he couldn't get a good quarterback.
Yeah, well. Faith texting in, did Denver have to buy out the rest of his contract from the Saints? They traded a first-round pick for him.
Because they owned the Saints owned his
so
rights
they got
for
his
like
con-
a year or
yeah,
so.
So they so yeah, essentially they paid they traded the pick for him, which came with his contract. So they bought it out by trading a first round pick for him.
Yeah, this isn't the first time coaches have been traded though. You remember the Raiders traded
John Gruden,
Chucky to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think
and
coach,
then lost.
Coach trades are always so fascinating to me. They're very odd.
It's like trading a washer dryer for a player. It's just like you usually expect picks and money. You don't expect like weird
right.
stuff like that.
Yeah. 28 minutes after the hour. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the Broncos and the guy that is in charge of your Denver Broncos. He is a larger than life personality, and that's documented here in Wickersham's story. Getting a chance to read through some of it, I did kind of find myself going, okay, this is a lot of information that I don't know what I'm into. But some of it, you found some nuggets. 28 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Two teams, no parades.
No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Check out FortCollinsFoxes.com to get your tickets. We are in the final month of the season, Michael. The season ends for the Foxes on July 26th, so make sure to check out opportunities to go to your next baseball game here in Northern Colorado. Great talent playing for the Fort Collins Foxes. Online, fortcollinsfoxes.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Faith texting in, we semi-met Sean Payton. And he was just absolutely rude, so kind of turned me off from him. Oh, yeah, no matter what you want to read from the article, and I've seen how he is with reporters. Now, he's not Coach Prime level, where he's just going to be like, you're no longer allowed to ask questions because you wrote something negative about me. He's still rude to reporters. Like Luca Evans from the Denver Post, he called him Evan. Guy's like, it's Luca, and Sean's like, yeah, great. Like, I'll admit, funny.
He sounds like a very passive-aggressive type of person.
He probably is a little rude. Probably a little full of himself. But, Michael, the question is, can you win your football games? And so far, it's been better than anybody could have asked.
You can forgive a lot of things about a person if they help your sports team win.
You 100% can. Like, we'll see just at the end of the season. If the Patriots are good, nobody's talking about the Mike Vrabel story anymore.
Yeah, if Tom Brady had gone to, the Broncos, you could forgive him for everything he did.
What did he do
pre-Broncos?
What did he do before the Broncos?
If he had gone to the Broncos.
I know, but what did he do before your fantasy land of him going to the Broncos?
Played for other teams.
Okay. That's such a toddler thing. Can we not do the toddler
sports
take?
Sports hate is okay.
Yeah, but you do it in such a different way. Like, sports hate a guy because there's something, like their attitude bothers you or something. Or they're too cocky when they do beat you. Tom Brady's a pretty professional guy. He's just good. He's good at what he does. And last I checked, the Broncos do pretty good against have done pretty well against Tom Brady.
That is true. The Broncos, I think, have a winning record against Tom Brady.
I don't know why you have to hate a guy like him. Now, if you want to hate on LeBron James, go ahead. Go for it.
And I do. I will.
Is it bad of me that every day
the Nuggets or the Sonics?
Is it bad of me every? There's no Sonics.
There will be.
Is it bad of me every day? I'm searching stories to in hopes that I see that LeBron has signed elsewhere. I'm just gonna say it. I don't love the dude. This is exactly what he wants. And Denver media fans, we're all buying into it. I'm not buying into it. I have to talk about it, but I'm not buying into the hype. I don't think it would be good for Denver.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. You got to surround your main guy, who is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. The numbers say so. You got to work with him. Will LeBron work well with Jokic? Maybe.
Yeah.
Not in personality.
Yeah, I mean, the personalities, it's not like LeBron has a bad personality.
So he's not like AI.
He's just, and I don't know that AI had a, well, AI was very much like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out, I'm going to party, whatever.
Practice.
And I'll show up and I'll bust my tail and play a basketball game, but am I the biggest leader in the world? No.
But you're talking about practice.
LeBron's like posting videos of him on the medicine ball, balancing on his knees, and then he's doing shoulder presses. And that's he just posted that, and now people are going crazy because they're like, that's actually not that hard. I don't think I could do it. But there's a lot of people that are doing it to showcase that, hey, what LeBron's showing here, he should be able to do even though he's 42, as a ripped, well, very, very much in shape NBA player. But that's the kind of thing. Like, he's always, it's always about him. And for some reason, we're trying to forget that. That LeBron, Chris said, Sean Payton likes to see himself in the limelight. That is LeBron James times 1,000. And that's what I'm not really crazy about is, he's going to come to Denver, if he comes to Denver. I think he's a long shot for Denver. It seems like it's Cleveland and Philadelphia that are the leaders in the clubhouse to get him. But if he came to Denver, it would be the LeBron show.
And I got people saying, well, put your ego aside, man. Even if it is, do you want a championship or not? My response, how many championships did he get with the Lakers? He got one in 2020. The bubble. Bubble ball. So why do we just act as if he's still the best player in the league? He's still a top five player in the league. That anywhere he goes, automatically that team turns into a championship team. That stopped 8 years ago. Yes, he went to Cleveland, paired up with Kyrie Irving, and got Kevin Love over there. Was part of shipping Wiggins off. And they won a championship. Had an epic comeback over Golden State. He had an epic display of defense in that series. No question. But that was 10 years ago. And we're acting, what about Peyton Manning, Brady? Peyton Manning was a larger than life distraction you brought in. Did Manning ever give off the vibe that it was all about Peyton Manning?
No. He still yelled at players when they needed to be yelled at. He still congratulated them when they needed to be congratulated. And the only, like, even his commercials weren't distracting. They were funny. But, like, he backed it up on the field, except that last year where he was hurt and his arm just wasn't working anymore.
Yeah. I think to compare the two, like, I'm hearing Ray Bork and DeMarcus Ware. Like, Brady, you didn't want those guys? The Broncos went out and got big names, brought them in.
They performed.
None of those guys sticks out as a me guy. Any of those guys stick out that way?
No, DeMarcus Ware actually helped out one of the Broncos' offensive linemen.
And he helped out Vaughn. He was like a mentor for him.
Yeah, and also, like, he kept beating, who was it? Garrett Bowles. He kept beating Garrett Bowles. And Garrett was like, how, like, I don't know why he's beating him. He told him why when he knew it was a run play or a pass play. Like, that's who the guy was.
And do you know players?
About team.
Do you know players that come away? Give me an example. Are there players that come away from playing with LeBron that walk away and say, that guy is such a great leader? That guy taught me a lot of things. I'm not saying Joker's that guy either. I think Joker probably wouldn't make a great coach because, well, maybe he would. He's called plays before, but it's hard for him. He's that good of a player. How do you teach that? You know, I remember when Peyton Manning came here, there were Tebow fans that wanted the Broncos to keep Tebow so Peyton could help him, could teach him. And I'm always like, I don't know if that's their job. But I think that LeBron James is like faith texting, and I don't love the drama that comes with LeBron. Like, he's got teams on hold in hopes he chooses them. Meanwhile, they can't make other moves. That's exactly the point. And you guys, some of you, are salivating at the idea of LeBron James coming here. The Nuggets, I mean, the Sixers already made big moves. But, like, the Nuggets are they waiting around to see what LeBron's going to do? They got a big decision on Big Val today. And we'll see what happens there, whether they, can they trade him? Do they cut him? What are they? Or do they just have a handshake? Do they have some kind of agreement where they pay him a little bit and then he goes away? Contract off the books? But that's the thing. Like, LeBron is, we're waiting on his decision 2.0. And now you got teams that are just at his mercy. For what? 20 points a night? I'm just not for it, man. Yeah, it'd be different if he was the best player in the NBA. If he was the best player in the NBA, then you put up with a lot. But that's even tough. I mean, there's just guys you're not a fan of. Like, Michael, you just said you don't like Tom Brady. Is there a player in the NFL that you dislike so much that you would hate to see him actually wear the blue and orange?
I mean, I would usually forgive them if they went to the Broncos. But there have been some Broncos players that I've been so disappointed with, like, personality-wise, that I didn't care for them.
I'm trying to think.
Back in high school, there was a guy that played, like, a little... He, like, speared some guy in the back of the head, and that did not sit well with me. And it did not sit well
who
with...
Did?
I think he got suspended.
Who are we talking about?
It was a linebacker.
Okay. Well, I'm just... If there's a player out there, surely there's players out there Like Russell Westbrook was not one of those guys. I loved to hate Russell Westbrook because of his antics, but I actually liked watching him play. And I didn't. His antics were just different than LeBron's. So that was not one of those dudes. I loved Allen Iverson. Dude, I wore Iversons in high school. I wasn't necessarily crazy about that move. Shoes?
Oh, okay. I didn't know he had his own shoes.
You didn't think Allen Iverson had his own shoes? I mean, come on, bro. They all have their own shoes.
I didn't know he had a brand of shoes.
When you get to be a high-level basketball player, you have a brand of shoe. And Allen Iverson was one of the highest level of basketball players ever.
Jordan's the only guy who should really have shoes.
Joker has shoes, and I own two pairs. They're great. No, Jordan's not the only one that should have shoes. Anybody can have shoes. Curry has shoes. They all have shoes, Mike. 43 minutes after the hour. Do you have shoes? Do you wear your shoes?
Yes, okay. Yes, I have shoes.
Right. Everybody has shoes.
I have issues with their shoes, though.
43 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Interior Sprinkler Systems is the spot to check out if you're in the market for sprinkler installation, fire extinguisher inspections, pretty much everything to do with your fire suppression and safety needs. Visit interiorsprinkler.com. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Later on in the show, I want to talk a little bit about Coach Prime and his Colorado Buffaloes. I sent you a clip, Mike, and I know we'll get it for the second hour, but Julian Lewis, quarterback for the Buffs, had some very interesting comments about how they ran things last year, how they did things. So I want to play that back. Keep in mind, one of the big moves the Buffs made in their coaching staff was to bring in Brennan Marion, who was the head coach of Sac State last year, literally in a new spot every year. Since getting into football, Mike, he was a quality control coach at Arizona State in 2015. Then he went to Oklahoma Baptist the next year as a running back coach. Then Howard for 2 years, stayed a while and Howard as the offensive coordinator. Then he went to William & Mary in 2019, Hawaii in 2020, Pittsburgh in 2021 to be the wide receivers coach. He was the passing game coordinator in 2022 with Texas, and then he went to UNLV and was the offensive coordinator in 2023, and then with Sacramento State in 2024. Michael, since his career has started, he's literally been to a new football team every year. So what makes you think this is going to be different?
I mean, he keeps getting promoted.
He does. That's true. He keeps getting promoted.
Look at the history of a lot of coaches, they're like, this for this team, this for this team, this for this team. The difference is this guy has a lot of short stints.
Yeah, one year.
I bet he's going to be there for 1 year.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't think CU's going to be that good.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
And Buffs fans, if you're mad at me, tweet at Brady Hull.
I just don't think they're going to be any good. I could be wrong, Mike. I mean, I'll bust into our Big 12 predictions as we get closer. We're going to start doing that here in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know how good CSU is going to be, just to be fair. I don't know much about them right now. I know it's going to be a different, CSU is going to run something completely different than what we've seen under Norvell. The Buffs should probably run something a lot different with Brennan Marion because he's got the go-go offense. So, I mean, it's going to be something different for sure. But I got to sit here and pretend to tell you that I think based on last year, the Buffs or the Rams are going to be any good.
Yeah, you got to give the Rams, I think they have a good coach. You got to give them a couple years.
Well, the Rams are in the new, they get the reset. They hit the reset button, right? I mean, this team looks nothing like the Rams team from last year. 11:51 the time. We'll get into a lot of that coming up on the show. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The summer months can be busy.
I'm busy!
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're scrolling the news and information database to see if there is any word on Jonas Valanciunas with the Denver Nuggets. We know that there are teams that are reportedly kind of interested in perhaps trading for him, or if he becomes a free agent, will he be a Nugget next year? Will he be in the NBA next year? That's going to be something to watch out for. It would clear a lot of money if the Nuggets are really trying to make that push for Peyton Watson. Coming up, we'll get to the top stories of the day. Keep it here on The Whole Show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.